Hey everyone, welcome to Alpha Insights. I'm Lucy and I'm here with Kristen.
And I'm Kristen. Great to be back. And hey, if you have questions while you're listening, drop them at stockalpha.ai.
Today we want to unpack the basics of quantitative investing, factor models and backtesting, so you can understand how systematic strategies are built and why some survive while others fail.
Yeah, that's a good point. We'll keep it practical. Think definitions, construction steps, common traps, and a few real-world example numbers so it doesn't feel abstract.
Let's start with the core idea. A factor model explains returns as a mix of broad drivers like value, momentum, quality, size, or volatility, plus stock-specific noise. In plain English, factors are repeatable characteristics that tend to correlate with future performance.
Exactly. So value could be cheapness metrics like low price to earnings or low enterprise value to earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. Momentum is basically recent relative performance, say the return over the last 11 months, skipping the most recent month.
And quality covers things like profitability and balance sheet strength. Return on equity, low accruals, stable earnings. Size is market capitalization, and low volatility looks at realized volatility, or beta. These are the building blocks, and you need precise, testable definitions for each.
Mm-hmm.
Practical construction starts with picking a universe, maybe the S&P 500 or Russell 2000, then computing raw scores for each factor. Winds are rising extreme, so outliers don't dominate, and standardizing scores so you can combine them.
Right. And one step people skip is neutralization. If you don't neutralize a value score for sector or market cap, you can accidentally end up mega overweight in banks or small caps when that's not your intention.
Neutralization usually means regressing the factor on controls like sector and market cap and using the residuals. That isolates the pure signal you care about.
So, how do you turn those scores into a tradable portfolio? There are a few options. Long short, dollar neutral, with top decile long and bottom decile short. Long only tilts, where you buy the top ranked names. Or optimization approaches like mean variance with constraints.
Each approach has trade-offs. Long short lets you target pure factor return, albeit with leverage and shorting costs, while long only is simpler but mixes market exposure with factor exposure. Optimizers can help manage risk, but can also overfit if left unconstrained.
And speaking of overfitting, this is where backtesting becomes critical. Backtesting means simulating your rules on historical data to estimate performance. But it only helps if you build the test correctly.
Right. And there are several fatal sins in backtesting. Look-ahead bias, survivorship bias, ignoring transaction costs or liquidity, and excessive parameter tuning. Any one of those can turn a promising result into a mirage.
Survivorship bias is wild. Datasets that exclude delisted or bankrupt companies can artificially add hundreds of basis points per year to returns. So you need survivorship-free data that includes companies that failed or got delisted.
Also, model your transaction costs and market impact realistically. A high turnover small cap strategy that looks great on gross returns can collapse once you add spreads, commissions, and slippage.
I mean, you know, when you look at the data, execution assumptions matter. Monthly rebalancing doesn't mean you get intraday fills at the close price every time.
For validation, use out-of-sample testing and walk-forward analysis. Reserve a period for true out-of-sample checks, or roll your parameters forward so you're simulating adaptation rather than cherry-picking the best parameter set.
Let's make this tangible. One example is a long-short, equal-weighted strategy on the Russell 2000, combining value and momentum, rebalanced monthly with a round-trip cost assumption of 0.5%. Hypothetical backtest numbers might show an annualized return of 10.4%, volatility of 12.5%, a Sharpe of 0.83, and a maximum drawdown of minus 18% before costs.
After trading costs and slippage, net returns can drop significantly. In that example, net return could fall to 7.8% and Sharpe to 0.62. That illustrates why realistic costs matter.
Not as glamorous after costs, right? But honestly, that honesty is what separates useful backtests from fantasy.
On metrics, track compound annual growth rate, annualized volatility, maximum drawdown, Sharpe and Sortino ratios, information ratio versus a benchmark, and implementation stats like average turnover, average position size, and concentration. Distributional checks like skewness, kurtosis, and hit rate are also helpful.
And statistically, be careful with p-values. If you're testing dozens or hundreds of factor variants, adjust for multiple comparisons. Use false discovery rate controls or similar, and prefer simpler models that have economic intuition behind them.
Machine learning can help find non-linear patterns, but black box models demand stronger out-of-sample validation and explainability. If you can't justify why a signal should persist, be skeptical.
Quick reactions?
Right, right.
Interesting.
Nice.
To wrap up, start small. Pick a universe, pick one or two well-defined factors, run a controlled backtest with survivorship-free data, realistic costs and capacity limits, then validate with out-of-sample and walk-forward tests.
Key takeaways. Define factors precisely. Neutralize unintended exposures. Model realistic implementation costs. And avoid data mining. Simplicity and economic rationale often beat complexity.
Got questions? We'd love to hear from you. Head over to stockalpha.ai, where you can ask us anything, and we'll answer live. And while you're there, check out more market content.
Thanks for listening to Alpha Insights. We'll be back with more market context and practical quant tips. See you next time.